Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
In Jay Glazer's latest mailbag, he was asked if Jared Stidham would be the QB of the future in New England. Glazer said he believes so, and all indications are that the Patriots want Stidham to be the guy moving forward. So, Shannon, how many games can New England win with Stidham as the starting QB?
Skip, I still believe they can win something around 9 games, maybe 10 if they get a lucky bounce here or there. Clearly, Skip. So, in other words, Coach Belichick really made no attempt until the very last inning. And I'm not so sure he made that attempt. I believe Mr. Kraft made an attempt. So Coach Belichick really made no attempt to re-sign Tom Brady. He's like, you know what's going to happen? They're going to release Brian Hoyer in Cleveland. He's going to come back, and he's going to start for a year, and that'll give Stidham another year to get ready to move forward. Come on. This was Coach Belichick's plan all along. That Jared Stidham, he felt Jared Stidham was ready to take the reins, and he wanted to move in that direction, Skip. You look at me saying that they can win 9 games, Skip, is my confidence in Coach Belichick and the defense, not so much Jared Stidham, because we haven't seen enough to be able to formulate a real good idea of just how good he can be or how good he couldn't be. Skip, if you look at their defense, they were number 1 in scoring defense, total defense, and interceptions. They got younger. They got more athletic. They held an opponent to 17 points or fewer 12 times. They were undefeated in those games. And I believe that's the way they want to play, because Coach Belichick was like, hell, it wasn't like Tom won us some games. He might have didn't lose us any. So if we play that kind of brand of defense again, and Stidham doesn't lose us any game, Coach Belichick feels that he can have a very similar record to what he had last year. Now, that remains to be seen. We're going to see. Coach Belichick seems to be willing to find out. He wanted to move in that direction. But I'm not surprised that Jared Stidham is going to start all this with Jared Stidham, and they're going to bring somebody else in. I believe they're going to give Jared Stidham every opportunity to succeed or fail. That was always going to be the plan. And if he doesn't get it done, Coach Belichick will have no problem moving on.
Shannon Sharp. The harder I look at what's left in New England, especially if Jared Stidham is going to try to replace Tom Brady, the GOAT, the harder I look, the more I see 6-10. And I'd be pretty impressed with 6-10. Shannon, number 1, they play the hardest schedule off last year's records. New England has the number 1 degree of difficulty, strength of schedule that they have to play. And just to remind everybody, they're non-division games. And tonight, obviously, 8:00 Eastern time, we get to see what the schedules, how they lay out, how they are actually chronologically in order.
Yes,
but New England at home must play, besides their division games, Baltimore and San Francisco, and then Arizona, which I think is going to be a wild card team this year, and Denver and the Raiders. Then away, they have to go to Kansas City. They have to go to Seattle. They have to go to Houston. Hard. And they have to go to both LAs, both to the Chargers and the Rams. So 2 more big cross-country flight trips. And to me, if they could win 6 games with a first-year starter, I would be impressed, because help me out. What has Bill Belichick done to make his team much of any better through the offseason? He did next to nothing in free agency. I was very disappointed in him through the 3 draft days, the night and 2 days, because Mel Kiper ended up giving him a C+, and I kept waiting for him to sort of manipulate and dominate the draft, and he just didn't. Not one pick that he made did I say, wow, that was interesting. Way to go, Bill. And in the end, they still have Stephon Gilmore, maybe the best shutdown corner in the game, and they did re-sign Devin McCourty, who's one of the top safeties. But if you look at the mass exodus of free agents on defense, if you look at the front 7, it's got holes all over the place. Look at the front 3, holes across the board. I don't get it. That defense cannot be quite as good as it was last year. And then, Shannon, help me on offense. Who's your best offensive player? Is it Julian Edelman, broken down, beat up, off surgery at age 33?
Joe Tunney.
Is it N'Keal Harry? Who's that?
Joe Tunney, the guy they franchised.
Oh, yeah, they franchised
him. Remember, they franchised
him. Okay, so your guard.
Yeah, Tunney.
Yeah, he's your best offensive player. I'll give you that. Will N'Keal Harry suddenly turn into a first-round draft pick? Well, he didn't down the stretch last year. He played the last eight games. And will Sony Michel ever get out of Belichick's doghouse? Because that's where he stayed most of last year. And it brings me to, is James White your best offensive player? Maybe. I don't know. He's 28 years old. He's had a great run. Is he the guy? Maybe he is. Because you didn't land a tight end. You had the worst production from your tight end unit in pro football last year. And I just don't see that you made it any better. So I feel a little sorry for Jared Stidham, Shannon, because, again, I told you this before. I watched him a lot in college. At Baylor, he was one of the top recruits in the nation, excuse me, out of Stephenville, Texas, for Art Briles.
Yeah.
And as a true freshman, he played a lot. And I watched a number of those games, some hits and some misses. Not bad. Then there was the scandal, transferred, played at McLennan Junior College. Then he went to Auburn. His first year at Auburn was really good. So if he's that guy, you got me. And he was the SEC newcomer of the year. He was second team all SEC quarterback. And they beat Alabama and they beat Georgia. And they were good. He was very good that year. Then his second year at Auburn, which was his last year, he just lost it. He lost his confidence. He often lost his poise. He lost his way. He lost his accuracy. I couldn't recognize him anymore. And under fire, he got antsy and jittery and flighty. And that's why he fell to the fourth round. So clearly, Bill Belichick is trying to say, look what I got. Another diamond in the rough. I got my next Tom Brady later in the draft.
Yep.
So Belichick's saying, I don't want Jordan Love. There's too much hype and hoopla. I don't want Cam Newton. I guess he didn't want Andy Dalton. I don't know. Did he try for Andy Dalton and fail? I don't know. But it appears that he's content with Jared Stidham, who's played next to nothing, threw one pick six to Jamal Adams in garbage time last year. He got yanked. I can't believe that he's – if they were a loaded football team and you were telling me, well, Jared Stidham's just going to ease right in and become a game manager for a very good team, you got me. I don't see a very good team. He's obviously a very good coach, but is he a miracle worker? You're going to have to work miracles. You're right. He is positioned. This is why FoxBet has him as the number one choice to be the coach of the year because, yeah, coach if you year. Make the playoffs with this, yeah, you're going to be the coach of the year. No doubt about it, but I'm looking at 6-10 more than 10-6.
Skip, Stidham has raw tools, Skip. He was a five-star recruit. Remember, Skip, he originally committed to Texas Tech. He goes to the game. Pat Mahomeboy throws for 600 yards and six touchdowns. He decommit. Yeah. I ain't got no chance of playing there. That's kind of how that happened, Skip. Kind of like what I did with Ben Coates. I was like, bro, if you want to play next year, don't come here. I'm moving to tight end. You can't beat me up. But Skip, when I look at him and you look at Coach Belichick and what he's doing, do we believe that the AFC East are viable threats now? I know that Buffalo's Stephon Diggs and they got a little better, but are we really trusting the quarterback? Are we really going to trust Fitzpatrick? Do we really believe in Brian Flores? Because I'm giving all the love that I've been giving the Patriots is because of Coach Belichick. Because I agree with everything you say. They ain't got nobody to write home about an offense like, man, hey, we got to take this guy away. Or we got to double that guy. Or that running back, he can light us up. Ain't none of that. The defense, what? Oh, man, we got to slide protection here. We got to block Lawrence guy. Or we got to slide the protection over there and take that guy away. Benovich. If there's none of that. Stephon Diggs, now he's the one guy, like, okay, let's, but I'm gonna pick on the other guys. They picked up the option of Devin's brother, Jason McCourty. But like you said, they lost Harmon. They lost a lot. So it's going to be very interesting. And the only reason I say, Skip, they can win 9 games is because I believe in Coach Belichick. That's it. Because it's not because they loaded with talent that I'm picking them to win 9 games.
Shannon, Buffalo is better than New England. I believe Buffalo will win the division. The Dolphins on paper, just on paper right now, because Jared Stidham is the quarterback, the Dolphins are better across the board than the Patriots to me. They're deeper. They're more talented. They had a much better draft. Now, can they remember they were coming alive under Ryan Fitzpatrick? They did beat the Eagles late, and then they went up to Foxborough, and Ryan Fitzpatrick drove it 80 yards in the last 2 minutes to beat Belichick's defense and knock him out of the two seed. So they're bringing some momentum into this year. I don't know whether Tua is going to play or not, but either way, if Tua is who you say he is, they'll be great. If Ryan Fitzpatrick can continue to build off what he did last year, you always say he's up and then he's down. He's up and he's down. Just when you expect him to be up, he's down. But the point is, that team has momentum, and Brian Flores is really good at what he does, a chip off the old block. Yeah. So, to me, they could be better than New England. I don't think the Jets are better than New England, but again, it's starting to feel like, on paper, the New England Patriots are the third best team in that division. So, Belichick did exactly what Belichick wanted to do. He set himself up to be coach of the year. And if he can pull this off, power to him. You will be the coach of the year. I just can't see it.
Skip, when you look at the Patriots, even last year, Skip, they only had two players that was better than anybody on Buffalo. That was the quarterback and Stephon Gilmore. You look at Buffalo talent for talent, offensive line, running back, you look at the defense, skill player, they had two players. That's it. So question is, Allen is going to have to outplay Stidham, because I still believe Coach Belichick's defense will be good. Now, Skip, normally we don't see defenses that be good 1 year be better the next year. Only the 86 Bears statistically was better than the 85 Bears. But when you look at the 2000 Ravens, the 2001 Ravens weren't as good. If you look at the 02 Bucks and how transcendent their defense was, the 03 Bucks weren't as good. So it's going to be interesting to see, can they be somewhat close to what they were? Because, Skip, remember, Minnesota's defense, after that transcendent year that they got to the NFC Championship game, wasn't even close to what they were the next year. So it's going to be very interesting. Coach Belichick believes that he can be, but I don't believe so.
And final point, Shannon, down the stretch last year, that historically great path that the New England defense was on, it went right over the cliff because after that Sunday night game at Lamar, when they got torched, they really started to wobble and struggle, and one wheel came off and maybe two wheels came off down the stretch. So I don't know that they're going to carry any momentum into next year either.
Yeah, Skip, I said, Skip, I don't see transcendent. I see a team that's playing bad quarterbacks, and when they play someone that's competent at that position, they're going to be in trouble, because you can't play that much man coverage and get away with it. And soon they ran into, as you mentioned, Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes, and things just started spinning out of control from there. No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, time for some exciting news. Fox Sports Digital, the team that produces this podcast, has been nominated for a Webby Award for our coverage of the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup in Paris. I was there covering the U.S. Women's National Team's incredible run as repeat champs. C'était vraiment incroyable. It was truly such an amazing opportunity and experience. So many stories I was lucky enough to help tell. If you enjoyed our work, we'd love it if you could visit vote.webbyawards.com. That's vote.webbyawards.com to support our entries. Fox Sports was nominated for Best Overall Social Coverage for our nightly show, Fox Sports World Cup Now, and for a digital feature we produced on Brandi Chastain, who looks back 20 years later on her famous PK that won the 1999 Women's World Cup. Thanks again, Undisputed listeners. We appreciate your voting consideration. And now, back to the show. No mercy.
So a list of the top sneakers in NBA history was released, and many iconic shoes made the list, but it was the Air Jordans who stole the show. At number two were the classic Air Jordan 1s. The best-ranked sneakers of all time were the Air Jordan 11s. And let me just say before I ask my question, both of you guys take your shoe game very seriously. Shannon, I've seen you post videos of your crazy shoe closet. So, Shannon,
yes.
I'll ask you first. Do you agree with this list?
Well, first of all, I'm not surprised that Jordan tops the list, Skip, because Jordan made shoes fashionable. Before Jordan, Skip, basically you practice and play basketball in gym shoes, with the exception of the Chuck Taylors. Now, the Chuck Taylors, Skip, people used to wear starched jeans and button-down shirts, and that was the style. But Michael Jordan, that was the style. Michael Jordan made shoes fashionable. Now, the shoes, Skip, everybody knows about the these are the Air Jordan 1s, and these are the frags. They're not the black and white colorway that first, but these are what they call the OGs. These were the first shoes that Michael Jordan wore. Now, he had two colorways, red, white, black, and he had red and black. Those were the ones that every time he wore, he got fined $5,000. Instead of stop wearing them, Nike paid the fine. But the shoe that everybody's talking about is what we call this would be a Jordan 11. This is the Concord, Skip. And what made this shoe so popular, it was the first shoe to have patent leather. Prior to that, you only saw patent leather on shoes. You were going to the prom or you were going to your Easter speech. That was the only time, not on a gym shoe, Skip. And when the Concord came out, everybody lost their mind. But then something happened in March of 1996. It's in the screen. This is also the 11th, Skip. It's called the Bread. Michael Jordan wore this shoe exclusively in the playoffs. And it never changed. And the game was over. Once this shoe came, it's still the most popular shoe, Skip. And everything they do, now they've come out with the all gray, which with the all gray, which is called the cool gray. They have the Space Jam in the 11. They have so many different. I forget so many different ones, Skip, and they do so many different colorways. So I'm not surprised that the 11 and the 1 dominated. Skip, you know you can't see it, Skip, but you know the shoe that he won the 88 dunk contest in, the cement, were the whites. So I'm not surprised. I thought it would be the OG, Skip, because that's where it originally started. But I'm not surprised that the 11 is the most popular shoe because the 11 is unbelievable shoe. It's great comfort, and it's a banging shoe. The patent leather is what set it aside from all other shoes, Skip, because the 11, Skip, is all patent leather, be it cool gray, be it the Concords, be it the Space Jam. It didn't matter. It was patent leather, and that's what set it aside from all other shoes.
Gotcha. So when I saw this list before I opened it, I tried to guess what's number one, and I'm with you. I thought one would be the one, would be the ones, would be the original, right. The OGs. It just got to be the shoes, money, right? It just got to be that one.
Right.
And yet, when I saw it was the 11, I thought about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I liked it because the truth was, if you look hard at Jordan's legacy, he had his greatest year in that shoe. That year, they went 72-10. That year, he won the regular season MVP. He won the All-Star Game MVP in San Antonio. He won the Finals MVP as they beat Gary Payton Sonics in 6 games. He won the scoring title again, one of 10 times, and he was first team all defense. And on top of that, it's the Space Jam sneaker. So I don't know. Just on, on pure legacy, you just say the impact of what happened in that shoe. Whew. Yeah, okay, I'm good with that being number one. And by the way, the Concords were always my favorite. And the reason, Shannon, you brought it up, the patent leather, I always called them my tuxedo sneakers because those are the ones that they're my favorites to wear on Undisputed, low tops or high tops, because you can they can dress you up. You can wear it with a suit, and it just looks like they're made for a suit. So you can go casual or you can go formal. And they work. Mm-hmm. And it was the first sneaker I said, that works. However you want to use it, it works.
Yes.
So I love the choice. I second the emotion of the choice. But Shannon, two quick points. Also, before I open up the list, I hoped two classic sneakers at least made it into the top 10, and boom, boom, they did. First, at number 9 was the old Adidas Superstar from the 80s. And Shannon, again, for me in the 80s, I just lived in the Superstar. That's all I ever wore to play in or to walk around in, or it was it. And remember, Run DMC ran to the bank in those
shell
Superstars.
Yeah, they had a shell toe Adidas.
And remember, I got it. And remember, what did Jordan? What was Michael Jordan's choice when he came to the NBA in 84? He wanted to be Adidas, right?
Adidas.
That's what we learned in the documentary. And his mom said, no, you need to take a trip to Oregon, to the Nike headquarters, and at least listen to what those people have to say. And then when his father heard what those people had to say, his father said, you need to do this. And Michael said, okay. And it was simply the greatest decision he ever made in his life, right? I mean you can't do any better than that. Go ahead.
And this is why, Skip, this is why nobody will ever can top him with the sneaker game, because he was the first to do it, and he's kind of cornered the market. If you take all the guys, think about it, Skip. Normally, when guys have shoe deals, once they retire, they discontinue making the shoe. Michael Jordan's shoe is more popular now than when he played, and he hadn't played in 15 years. So when you look at it, Skip. And I remember, I remember all the shoes from the 3s. I like the cement, Skip. As a matter of fact, these Concords and these Breads, Skip, these are the original shoes. So 1996 and 1995, these are the original shoes.
Yeah.
So, like you said, when they came out with patent leather, I'm like, who thought of, at first, Skip, I'm thinking, who the hell thought about putting patent leather on a gym shoe?
Nobody.
And then when you saw, and when I actually, Skip, when I actually went to the store and saw it, I said, oh my goodness. I said, and then they just started. So they went from the Concord to the Breads, and they went to the Cool Grays, and they went to the Space Jam with two different bottles of the Imperial. I said, oh man, Skip, nobody's going to be able to touch it. Kobe has a great shoe. Okay. I love Kobe shoes. As a matter of fact, Skip, my last year in Denver, I went to a game to see Kobe play. The shoes Kobe played in, I went back, I went in the dressing room, talked to him, I said, bro, let me get those. Skip, he took them off his feet, he autographed them for me, and he gave them to me, the Huaraches. Now, people don't remember, Skip, originally out of high school, he signed with Adidas. I think it was like his sixth or seventh year in the league before he came aboard Nike, which was a great decision. Skip, if you also remember, Michael Jordan in college, Dean Smith was a Cons guy, Converse. That's what he wore in college. But they were not going to make him bigger than Magic and Larry.
Okay, that brings me to Converse and the second shoe that made it into the top 10, because to your point, at the time Michael came into the league, 84, Michael and Larry dominated the shoe game with those
Magic.
Converse
Magic
weapons.
And Larry.
Remember those?
Yes.
I mean, Magic,
yes.
I'm sorry, Magic and Larry dominated with those weapons, the Converse weapons. Everybody was wearing those at that point. But the shoe I want to talk about that you mentioned was the shoe I literally grew up playing in, was the Chuck Taylor Converse All-Star. Now, in my day, they were always all white. And quick story, when I was a freshman in high school for the freshman team, everybody wore all white Converse, and we loved the black ones. And if you could get your hands on black ones, you were it at that point. And I went to the varsity basketball coach, who was a legend, named Don Van Poole. I went into his office before school one day on behalf of the freshman team, and I asked Coach Van Poole, could we wear black Chuck Taylors? And I got a one-word answer, no. And so that was the end of that deal. But I've always loved the black ones. Now everybody loves red ones and green ones and yellow ones. And they have endured. And they're selling just as well now as fashion footwear as they did back in the day as just purely basketball footwear. So way to go. And Converse All-Stars were number 5 on the list.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I got to keep these things on too. These are the old GOAT James 15, the floors, you can't see them, Skip. Nice shoe. Real nice shoe. But Skip, if you really look at, Skip, go ahead.
Wait, time out. I need to make one quick note here that ESPN also did a bottom 10 of all time. And I was a little surprised. Guess what was number 8 on that list in the bottom 10? The LeBron 13s. What? So one of LeBron's shoes made the bottom 10? That's shameful.
What was it, the Soldier? I don't know which one it was.
I don't follow LeBron's shoes. I don't know LeBron's shoes. I didn't even know he had a lot. Does he have his own signature shoe? I don't even know.
He got 17. As a matter of fact, I'm wearing the Monstars right now. Skip, if you really look at it, if you look at probably 10 of the most iconic shoes, really, Jordan probably, you could easily put Jordan, say Jordan has them all. Because if you look at the threes, which are the cements, he won the dunk contest, Skip, in the white cements.
Okay.
The fours are very good. People don't really like the fours, Skip, because they crease so much. Mm-hmm. They're easily creased.
Yeah.
I like the fives. People like the infrared, which are the sixes. The sevens, I don't really like the eights, but the 11s. Yeah. I mean, when you look at what he's got, Skip, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah, those are the black seamen that he actually played in the game. But he won the dunk contest. Those are the twos. Now, Skip, me, I'm biased towards the twos. My mama waited in line in 1987 for 3 hours to spend $100 on those shoes. Those are my favorite because the memory, what it brings back and what my mom, you know, waiting in line to get me those shoes and saying, boy, you better keep these shoes for 100 years because I ain't never waiting in line again and I'm never paying another $100 for a pair of gym shoes. That's what people... My mom called him Skip. My grandma called him gym shoes also. But, he changed the game, Skip. That's why nobody's ever going to catch him, Skip. Because you can't talk Michael Jordan without talking shoes.
Yeah, so you are willing to admit, live national TV, that Michael Jordan is at least the sneaker goat?
Yeah. But we on Mount Rushmore. I think we on Mount Rushmore. It's Jordan, it's Kobe, it's Ron, and it's the Dr. J All-Stars. I'm gonna go old school. I ain't gonna pick the weapons with Bird and Magic.
No. Sorry.
I'm not gonna forget this day. It's been said by Shannon. MJ is the sneaker goat. Just so you know, it's been said. I'm not going to forget. Skip and I are going to remember that one. You guys know your shoes. You put me to shame there. That was really interesting. No mercy. Jake Glazer may have been poking fun at Ben Roethlisberger in his latest mailbag. When asked about Big Ben's off-season fitness program, Glazer said, quote, first of all, let's not put the words fitness and Ben Roethlisberger together. His idea of a great off-season workout program is doing one yoga session, playing golf, and drinking some beer. So, Shannon, how concerned should the Steelers be about this?
Skip, they shouldn't be concerned. Big Ben is 38. Big Ben has never been known for had an aesthetically pleasing body, so to speak, of Skip. When you look at quarterbacks, with the exception of Cam Newton, how many times you ever seen it's like, man, I want to be built like a quarterback. It's normally wide receivers, running back, and the defensive side of the football other than defensive linemen, unless you're Aaron Donald or Miles Garrett. But for the most part, Skip, quarterbacks have narrow shoulders. Skip, they don't need a whole lot of muscle. They don't need to be ripped up, shredded up, and tore up to go out there and throw. Can he get the ball from point A to point B? Can he hit the ball? Can he throw the ball to the guy in stride? Can he do that? That's all they care about in Pittsburgh, Skip. Big Ben is 38. What you expect him to come in at 225 when he's played the lion's share of his career at 245, 250? Skip, that's not going to happen. That's who he is. Tom Brady, you see other guys have taken their workouts and their diet, their nutrition very serious. But I never looked at Ben as like, man, Ben really working out hard in the offseason. He's eating properly. Nobody ever go say that. The question is, Skip, can he throw the ball? Can he win games? That's all they care about in Pittsburgh, and that's all they should care about.
So you just mentioned the diametrically opposed Tom Brady. I do believe that a huge part of his longevity, as he wants to play at 43, 44, maybe up to 48, is his off-season conditioning. Heck, his in-season conditioning. You work out hard. I work out hard. Tom Brady works out hard. again, he's found new ways to work out that he says don't threaten his body. He doesn't lift heavy weight anymore. It's more pliability. It's more stretching. It's more lightweight. It's more resistance bands. But he's still working hard to stay young in his body. And I think it's crucial to his longevity that he has done that. I think his teammates feed off that. I think that rubs off on the locker room that he's early to the weight room or to the workout room and late to leave. So he is one way to do it. And then there's this way to do it. And Shannon, I know you played with guys who just were blessed. They're just blessed. They just were born with the right genetics. It's what I call country strong. And it can be black guys, white guys. They just got born strong. And they don't have to lift a weight. Big Ben is aptly named Big Ben. He is a huge human being. He is hard to pull down. It's just hard to get him on the ground. Plus, he's got nice athletic ability because he's got really good hand-eye coordination, which is why he's a good golfer. And so he can throw with velocity or touch. And he likes to compete. He enjoys competing at ping pong or pool or whatever you want to, or golf. And so he loves to get out and compete. But he just has that natural knack, that gift of, he can find the open receiver and throw him a very catchable pass. Well, he just blessed, man. That's just lucky. You got the right constitution, the right genetics, the right skill set that you can get away without working out. And again, was Jay poking a little fun? He probably was. But there's some truth in there, too. We all know Ben's never been a workout warrior. So, again, at age 38, after he took the season off because he finally got hurt, he'd been averaging 14 games a year, so he's not been a beat-up, banged-up quarterback before. He's been fairly durable. And yet, Shannon, at 38, do I expect them to have a good year and him to have a very good year? I do. I think he could be the comeback player of the year. I think they could win 10 games. I think their defense is very good. I think they could at least challenge or threaten the Ravens in that division. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm like, we're good. We don't need to push and prod him to work out harder in the offseason. Right. Now is he going to last into his 40s? Probably not. But again, at 38, I still think he's in shape enough, in Ben shape enough, to be really good.
Skip, if you look at guys that are really good at golf, you look at their fluid, they don't have a whole lot of muscle. I'm too muscle bound up top. Nope. So for me to get back and open up and swivel my hips, I'm tight. I'm tight like that. But you look at basketball players. You look at the quarterbacks. You look at baseball players, Skip. You look at hockey players. Guys that doesn't have a whole lot of shoulder girth, that's fluid through this motion, Skip. Those are the guys that are good at golf. Well, you try to get a linebacker out there. You try to get a linebacker out there, Skip, and think he might hit some balls. That ain't happening. It's not. The only skill in running backs, you look at running like Marcus Allen, they swing the golf club. Marshall Faulk is good at playing golf. But Skip, if you look at those guys up about it, I'm too muscle bound. So it ain't no sense in me wasting my time. And plus, I like working out. That's not what Ben likes doing. And Ben is like, I got 3 500-yard passing games. I won 2 Super Bowls. I've been to a third. I've been to the Pro Bowl. I've won a number of divisions. I'm good. I'm going to keep this up. The same way Tom Brady's like, I like to eat the way I eat. I like to train the way I train. And look what it's been for me. I got all these touchdowns, all these yards, all these Super Bowls. I'm not changing. Skip, once a guy has success doing things his way, regardless of what the training is, Skip, it's hard to get him out of that. Because athletes, Skip, they're Skip, they're very superstitious. Very. And if they find something that worked, whether it's wearing the same socks, the same jock, taking the same route to the stadium, guys will do that. Ben has had success doing it this way. Ben 245, 250, who knows? Hell, maybe even 260. Because like you said, Skip, you don't get the name Big Ben from being 185 pounds. I mean, sometimes we see guys, Skip, they huge and they call them tiny. Like, why the hell you call that man tiny? That man's 6'5", 300 pounds. You talking about tiny. Ain't nothing tiny about him. But Big Ben was named Big Ben for a reason. And so And like I said, Skip, and I don't think the injury had anything to do with conditioning. Now, if he tore a muscle, I was like, well, Ben, you need to share some. But Skip, that's a freak injury. An elbow ligament, that ain't got nothing to do with physical fitness.
No, no. No, I got it. To your golf point, that was a really insightful point because once upon a time, before I started lifting weights, I was pretty long with my driver for my size. And Shannon, as soon as I started hitting the weights, I got tighter and tighter because I liked the way I looked. So my vanity overtook me and it hurt my driver. I lost yardage with my driver as I gained muscle in my upper body. They don't go together. I think Tiger Woods struggled with his early weightlifting because it wasn't great for him. It's about flexibility and that pliability that Brady talks about. Right. And I will bet you that Big Ben, not working out, not lifting weights, I bet he hits it a country mile with his driver on the golf course because he's the kind of guy who can. Flexible and big.
Yeah. Skip, the thing is, like, my brother, he didn't play golf until he, you know, till he retired from the league. And, you know, he's like, hey, bro, you know, I need you to help me get in shape. You know, I want to, you know, shed a few pounds. And I had him lifted. And he's like, nah, bro, I can't lift it. I can't lift like that anymore. I said, why not? He said, it messes up my swing. He says, I can't drive the ball. He says, I'm not fluid with my iron.
Yeah.
He said, bro, I do these lower body exercises. I'll walk, but I'm not lifting. I'm not touching the weight upper body. And, you know, he can hit the ball a mile. He goes up to Tahoe and he plays fairly well, you know, finishes top 10 a couple of times, Skip.
But he does.
Like I said, you have to be fluid through this, Skip. And I got too much muscle. I hate it. It is what it is.
The one thing about Big Ben Roethlisberger, when he does retire, whenever that is, at age 40 or whenever it is, he's a candidate for weight gain because he's never really had to watch what he ate.
Oh, absolutely.
And because he didn't, you know, he doesn't work out. Whoa, be careful, Mr. Roethlisberger, because as you go toward 50, you're going to start gaining weight because you've never had to work at anything to keep it off. You let football take it off of you or keep it off.
Because here's the Skip, the problem that they run into, and this is what most athletes, regardless of position, because I see cornerbacks that look like D linemen now, and I see running backs that look like offensive linemen now. The problem is, Skip, is they keep the same eating habits, but they don't work out with the same intensity. Well, you can't do that.
No.
One or two things, and sometimes it's both. Skip, you got to work out harder and eat less, or you got to do both. That's it. You got to work out hard and eat less. You can't all of a sudden say, you know what, I'm going to eat whatever I want and just start working out like you did when you played. Okay, I see big things in your future, and I'm not talking about a job promotion. So you keep eating that. You keep eating that same way, Skip, and not working out and see what happens.
You guys are way too healthy for me, just for the record. Just want both of you to know you take your health and fitness very seriously, and I should probably start as well. No mercy. During a recent radio interview, Sam Smith, former Chicago sports writer and author of The Jordan Rules, aired out more dirty laundry. Smith said several players told him that Michael Jordan would tell the flight attendants not to feed Horace Grant on postgame flights if he had a bad game. Shannon, how surprised are you to hear this?
Jenny, he did not say flight attendant. He said stewardesses. I would go correct that and say that's what they called them back then.
Thank you.
Skip, they didn't call them flight attendant. Skip, you remember Michael Jordan said that Michael said he had a feeling that this documentary would have people to look at him in a negative light. And he was concerned about that. But Skip Bayless, you know me, you've been working with me for 4 years, and people have told you about me. I'd have whipped Mike's ass. Mike would have had to whip me, or I'm going to whip him. Because for you to tell someone not to feed me because you don't think I had a good game, Skip Bayless, we're going to fight every day until I beat Mike. Because this is not about, Skip, this is not about a basketball game. And sometimes, Skip, you got to be willing to take an ass cutting to prove a point. Now, Mike might whip me, but I'm going to make it so difficult he never want to fight me again. That would have never, ever happened. You ask anybody that played with me in my 14 years, to go back to Savannah State, The one thing I would not tolerate is disrespect. Skip, you don't have to respect me, but I'd be damned if I let you disrespect me. And you gonna whip my ass or I'm gonna whip yours, but I'm gonna get it. Man, Skip, man, what are you doing this at? You think because you Michael Jordan that you can say, oh, don't feed? Skip, I'm not a child. I'm not a... Skip, people do that when they neglect animals. The animal does something. He potties in the house. You don't feed him. Or he does something. You don't feed him. And you think you can have that kind of pull because you Michael Jordan. You the best player in the NBA. You selling shoes. You can do that? Skip Bayless, I guarantee you this would have had a very different ending because that would have got out. I would have from the front of the plane to the back of the plane, I said, today, I'm going to put a stop to this. Either you're going to beat me or I'm going to beat you. But this going to stop today, Skip Bayless. This is unacceptable. I don't care if he's scoring 50 points a game. I don't care if he's the greatest 15 times over. Skip Bayless, I will not stand for disrespect, especially by somebody that we're supposed to be in this thing together with. Absolutely not.
Shannon Sharp, you are trying to project yourself onto Horace Grant. Horace Grant is not in the Basketball Hall of Fame. You are in the Pro Football, the NFL's Hall of Fame, Canton, Ohio. So you can't put yourself in his shoes because you wouldn't have been in his shoes. They didn't have a Shannon Sharp on their team. They had Charles Oakley, who might have qualified for a Shannon Sharp, out of the same mold.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he wasn't.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he wasn't as talented at what he did as you were at what you did. But in size, stature, toughness, physicality, yes, you would
absolutely be
equal. But the point was, Oak was only on that team for so long, and to Jerry Krause's,
credit.
To his credit, he got rid of him. And I don't think Michael wanted Oak to go to the Knicks, but he let him go. So the point was that Michael Jordan was the unquestioned leader of this team. And he led by example, and he led by deed. So, again, you're right. I think today's Jordan at 57 had real reservations about, am I going to come across as a horrible person? Well, this story wasn't in the documentary. I don't think maybe it will be. But Sam Smith just told this to, I believe, a San Francisco radio station. So Sam Smith did write the book called The Jordan Rules. And by the way, who has in the documentary Michael Jordan condemned as the quote-unquote Judas in the locker room who betrayed him to Sam Smith, who was the number one locker room source? It was Horace Grant. So I think Horace probably had the same feelings that you had, but there's no way he's going to want to challenge Michael Jordan to a fight because I don't think he could have beaten him in a fight. This is just me. I don't think Shannon Sharp could have beaten Michael Jordan in a fight, though I think it would have been a hellacious good fight. That's just me. But in the end, this is how Michael Jordan led. If he didn't like what Steve Kerr was doing in practice and he warned him and Steve Kerr did it again and hard fouled him or Will Perdue said a hard pick again after he was warned, they got busted in the face. Well, he motivated by fear. So I think it's vintage Jordan, and I don't have any problem with it whatsoever, that if Horace didn't live up to the standards that Michael had set for him as a performer, as a basketball player, then Michael was liable on the team flight home to tell the flight attendant no food for him. And again, it's not like he locked him in a closet for 2 days and didn't let him eat. He just didn't get a post-game flight home meal. I'm sure he ate when he got home, and he's fine. But, okay.
No. Guess what I would have ate? I would have ate his plate. I'd have took his plate. I'd like, you ain't got to serve me. I'm going to take his food. Let me tell you how I do things, Skip Bayless. I was growing up, and I was always, I wasn't the biggest person, but I didn't bother anybody, and I didn't want anybody to bother me. But one thing I wouldn't tolerate, the one thing that I still hate to this day, I hate mofos that prey on the weak. You think because you bigger, you badder, you're more well-known, you can say, do whatever you want to somebody. I don't get down like that. I never have. I never would. Skip, I remember my sophomore year in college. Skip, you know what they call rush fraternities. Guys are trying to cross over. They would send the guys come down to our dorm to ask for money. Skip, money was tight back then. But you using them guys to, so they can go, you can go get McDonald's and get donuts and all that stuff. I got two of my teammates. It was me, Mike Wallace, and Steve Gerald. I said, bro, put your shoes on. Come go with me. I don't need you to say anything. And I went down there. I said, I tell you what. If y'all send them down there one more time and they knock on my door or anybody on the second floor door, y'all going to have to whip me or I'm going to whip y'all. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Mayor Porter didn't send me down here to take no ass cuttings. I said, don't send them down to the dorm again. From that point on, not only from 88 and 89 did not anybody come on that second floor. Don't play with me, Skip, because I'm a, like I said, you're going to have to beat me or I'm going to have to beat you. It's as simple as that.
No. Shannon, no. You're accusing Michael Jordan of being a bully, and I'm telling
you,
he was just being a leader. He was not. He was being the leader of the best basketball team in the world. He had a rage to win championships, period, end of story. He didn't care about Horace Grant. He just needed him to help Michael a little bit to win another championship. And he did help a little bit, sometimes a lot, but mostly just a little. And yet he also ratted on him behind the scenes because he didn't like being picked on. So instead of fighting him man to man, jaw to jaw, fist to fist, he went to Sam Smith and told him stories, behind the scenes stories that Sam was able to use. No, that's what Sam's job was, to be an investigative reporter. Yes. And he used said stories in the Jordan rules. But the point was, Michael wasn't trying to pick on Horace. He just needed him to play better. And I promise you, it worked. Horace Grant lived in fear of Michael's wrath. He, just like a coach that you played for that you feared, where like Dan Reeves, you lived in fear that he was gonna give you an ass cutting if you didn't play. Right. He was going to maybe embarrass you in public if you didn't live up to what you were as a football player. So Horace Grant lived in fear of the leader of the team. And that's why I've always said Phil Jackson was very lucky, because the real leader of those dynastic Bulls teams was Michael Jordan, not Phil Jackson. The man they looked to in the end was Jordan, not Phil. Jordan made all the biggest calls. Jordan was the one who set the tone and drove that team and motivated it. And he didn't have to say anything. It was by deed. It was by example. It was, hey, if you don't play, you don't eat on the team plane home. He was the last word on that team and on that flight home. And I loved it because it produced six championships that should have been 8 or 9 or 10, given the last dance. And every time he played in the finals, he backed it up with an MVP. So it's not being a bully. It's just being a leader.
Skip, I believe you can lead. Look, John Elway was our leader, but I would not tolerate disrespect. And I didn't want to let him down. So I made sure I dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. I made sure I was prepared. I knew he was counting on me, and I wanted him to count on me. I wanted him to need and depend on me like the first and the 15th. But, Skip, if you remember the movie A Few Good Men, Loudon and Downey thought they were doing a good job, but they were picking on Santiago. That's what they did. And they ended up, you know the story, they ended up killing. No, Skip. You can be the leader. You can be the leader without disrespecting me, because, hey, I'm going to tell you one time, bro, I don't get down like that. That's it. Now, when a man tell you to leave that alone, he don't get down like that, take him at his word. No matter how big or small you think, Skip, everything will fight you if pushed to the brink. Rick, I'm just saying, no matter how weak you think someone is, you push them far enough, they'll go. I'm one of those guys, you don't have to push me that far, because I'm going to tell you, bruh, leave that alone. I'm done with it. I'm done with it, Skip. I'm not going to keep it. Okay.
Okay, but Shannon, you didn't play for Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls. And you wouldn't have lasted long with Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls because you would have challenged Michael Jordan and you would have lost that battle in the end. He would just say, get him out of here, and you would have been gone.
Yeah, yeah, they got me up out of there. Yeah, they would have, Skip. But see, guess what?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the way I came because I came to Chicago as a man. I'm leaving as a man. You're not finna emasculate me. You're not finna strip me of my dignity. Man, right. Michael say don't feed him. And they didn't feed him. Shh, I wish they might. Guarantee you, I'm gonna get my ass, Skip Bayless. But guess what I'd have done on the way out? Whipped him. And they'd have told that story. I'll see if they'd have put that in the last dance. Cause I'd have whipped him. Or he'd have had to whip me, but they'd have told that story. But like I said, sometimes, Skip, you have to take an ass cutting. But you make it so difficult, he don't want no more of that again. He don't want no more of that. That's what you do. Man, you can't do that to people, Skip.
Shannon.
You think that?
He was 6'6". He was 215. He was long. He was strong. He was lethal with his fists. I think you would have had your hands full if you had challenged him.
Skip. See, here's the thing. This is how you do it, Skip. I'm going to say, bruh, leave that alone. I'm done with it. I'm not going to say another word. Bruh, leave that alone. I'm done. And Michael is the guy that's going to keep on talking. He's going to keep on talking. Because I know how he is. Because, you know, he Michael Jordan, ain't nobody going to do anything. And next thing, you know, wah, wah, wah. Now he looking like Martin when he got done with Tommy Hearns. Yep. I'm done with it. I ain't going to keep on talking,
really?
Going back and forth, going right and right in circle like we in the third grade.
No.
Done with MJ. For now, we're...
No mercy.